Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. One, two, one, two. What it do?
Hey. It's the Lace Rhymes crew.
It's the Lace Rhymes crew, baby. Back in this once again, and it's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And it's your man Jay. How you doing?
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Yes, sir.
We got some heat today.
Oh, yeah.
We got some heat today.
Oh, yes. A lot has went on this past weekend.
A lot of bullshit.
Yes, a lot of fucking bullshit.
A lot of letdown. A lot of what the fuck. Actually, we're going to call this episode What the Drake.
What the Drake.
Bro, you jumped out a window for a whole week.
Yes.
For a whole week, you jumped out a window. You got me agreeing with Azealia Banks. What is going on? Man.
Oh, no, nah, yeah, man. Absolutely. What the Drake? Yeah. What the Drake, man? Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, we're not even going to do an honorable mention because nothing to honorably talk about.
It ain't nothing really honorably to talk about. But Drake, I'm not going to say nothing. We're going to get into it, though. But this is all I have for you today, Brody. That's how you made me feel the whole fucking weekend.
That's how 20 of the songs on that 23-track album made me feel.
Like, exactly. I listened to it 3 times, bro. I thought I could have got jiggy with the shit.
Did you try to convince yourself, too?
Yes, I tried. And you know how I feel about him.
You feel me? Like, you trying to force yourself to be like, no, this is, maybe I'm not hearing it. Let me take it out the AirPods, put it in the car.
Yeah.
Let me go from the car to in the crib. Like, no, it's trash everywhere.
Where? It's fucking trash, bro.
It's the worst project you have in your catalog, bro.
Yes.
Easily worst project. The worst one. It's the worst project other people have in their catalog.
Right.
Like,
and for y'all to try to say it's fire, you're lying.
Cap.
You're lying.
Cap. But that's the marketing. That's what I talked about last week, where it's always going to be relevant. There's some people that are never going to go against Drake. But we will.
Yes.
But we will. Here in Lace Rhymes crew on this What the Drake episode, we got a lot of things to say, but where we going to go first?
Oh, man. Shit. Let's you know, fuck it. Before we get into the rest of the shit, let's just get into For the Dogs right now.
All right.
Let's jump straight into it.
Okay, all right. So just to give a background, if you don't know what's going on, last week, last Friday, Drake released the For the Dogs EP. It's received a lot of colorful reactions. You know, the album has caused an uproar in several ways, received every way possible. So many have chimed in for their take on the state of Drake's quality. Has he matured? Who he makes music for? The album sound itself, and so many other topics. And we're gonna break down a couple, you know. But I'll tell you right now, the highlight of For the Dogs EP is a feature.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
You have 23 songs, and the best part is somebody else.
Absolutely. And you know what though? Before we get into that, let me play this clip real fast. Cause niggas trying to say, oh, the ladies look, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. No, no, no.
I was day one
when it was not cool to be a Drake fan, right? But he lost me somewhere.
Yeah.
After Views, it's almost like that friend from high school that we have nothing in common anymore. And I kind of don't want to hang out with them. So I'll see you on social media, but let's never speak again.
Damn.
Right?
What do you think it was? What do you think the disconnect is?
You know, it's funny. I think from day one, what always gravitated me towards Drake was he was vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That was his superpower. When he stopped trying to act like Wayne or Jay, and he was just this goofy kid from Toronto, half white, nice, you know, white Jewish mom. That's what we loved about him. And in those vulnerable moments, whether it's Brand New or Too Much, like those are the records that made me like Drake. And especially growing up, when you're in your mid-20s, he was that perfect blend of emo and toxic, which is what all of us were dating and acting at the time. But now 10 plus years later, I just feel like we grew in separate directions. And when I listened to this new album, and let me know what your thoughts are, I was like, who is this person? Who's Aubrey? And what I want from him now is a classic album. What is your magnum opus as a grown man, as a father?
Who
was that?
Her name is Soey Mock. Soey Mock. And shout out to Soey Mock. Seen her at Revolt World. She did a hip-hop fashion panel with Jim Jones. Like, she's a fucking truth. So, yo, shout out to you. Like, for real.
My man is starstruck by Revolt World. He is starstruck. That's the second baddie he talked about from Revolt World.
Hey, they were everywhere.
Hey, look, that's not Revolt World, my boy. That's Atlanta. That's Atlanta, my boy. You can go out there on a Tuesday for no reason. You're going to see somebody at the quick, like, bruh, stop the shop, going to be lit.
Oh, hey, yes.
Waffle House yapping, like, anyway. So back to the Drizzy. Back to the Drizzy. She made some great points because Drake is an artist that we've grown up with in several ways. He's the same age as me. You know, we are the same exact age. So you got to understand that I process his music through, and so many other in our age bracket, his original core fans, process his music through our lifestyle choices. You know, we're growing up, we have families, we got kids, you know, like, you growing up, you got kids. We've seen that, you know, how you have them in the videos and everything. Like, we understand it, but, and we were so, I guess, hyped up from 8 a.m. in Charlotte because that's the quality of Drake that we want.
Yeah.
It's mature.
Sure, yeah.
It's old. Oh, it's older. It's to the point. It's vintage. It's stripped down from all the BS.
Absolutely.
And then we play the album where all the BS is at. And it's like,
One minute, you're trying to sound like you're a drill rapper. Another minute, you're sounding like you're from the UK.
Yeah.
I'm all like, it was everywhere.
What I say about the Doja Cat album, when you're too eclectic on an album, you can't target your core audience.
Exactly. Yeah, you did say that. You said that.
And you're trying to do everything. I remember Reggae Drake. I remember Dorky Drake. I remember No Beer Drake. I remember, like, you have all these different versions, but it's like, bro, pick one.
Right.
Pick one.
And then just last year, if I'm not mistaken, last year, we had the house Drake with the Honestly Nevermind.
You're right. Honestly, yeah, you're right. We did have House Drake last year. You know, and it's just like, and honestly, the album, because at this point, I think Drake is bored. Either bored or not as talented as we believe. So I'm going to go with bored, right? And he's pandering for payment.
He's going to
pick this crowd. He's going to, you know what I'm saying, when he was dealing with Rihanna, he was a little West Indian, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, when Wayne just got out of jail, he was damn near a blood.
Yeah.
Like, he was damn near a blood, you know, and let some beef happen and he's a little Drake. And now he's a boss with Jay Prince on the phone. And it's like,
Nigga, you're everywhere, bro. You need to pick a, like how that means, you need to pick a side and stay there.
Yeah, but even if you can, how do you pull this many people together but not identify with the root of any of them? Doing surface level talent
or surface level activity. Yes.
And you're not really identifying with the point in which people fell in love with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You'll pick up a sound, people will love this sound from you, then they're going to change it. Why are you going to change it? Look, the OGs once said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Because, like what I say, and most people that know me, y'all know how I feel about this nigga, dude. I think he's a cornball, in my opinion. Absolutely, yes. But what I am going to respect, I'm going to respect the rapping ability. Reason why I fucked with him when he first came out, and this is before comeback season. Nigga, he had a joint called Deceiving, and he rapped over J Dilla shit. I was like, yo, this nigga is dope. This nigga is dope.
So check it out. I remember that era and I listened to it, but it was what song was it? What project was it? The one where he was in the fall where
comeback season.
That was the joint that had This Bitch Is Crazy on it.
Yeah, and Replacement Girl.
Look. There was all the rapping. There was all the rapping, but This Bitch Is Crazy was like, If you out, you're dealing with a couple women at the time and everything, you know, this is my younger days and all that. I never heard anybody make a song about this.
Right.
And like, I always try to see people glorify the crazy girl. Like,
right.
We men want crazy women. No, they don't. We like peaceful ones.
Yes.
We like peaceful ones, right? But
for real,
what you call it? Like, you think you want a crazy woman because that's what the time, that's what the trend says.
Right.
Until you actually get one. And you're like, you know what? I just need you to, hey, bro, reset, mulligan, I'm cool. But by This Bitch Is Crazy, I was like, okay, this is different. Mm-hmm. And then I'm starting to hear everything with Brand New.
Right.
And Sooner Than Later. Once I heard Sooner Than Later, I said, this man is going to be legendary.
Yeah.
I called it then. And when I heard Sooner Than Later, I said, this man is going to be legendary because he can identify with the women in the core. And the men in the court.
Right. And then you fast forward, AM to PM, the thrill is gone. Like, you were doing this, bro.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing this.
You went bar for bar with Wayne in his heyday on Ransom. You went bar for bar with Wayne in his heyday on Ransom. And in that same instance, we forgot the fact that you're not even a rookie yet.
Yeah.
So that's like somebody that's about to go into the draft beating Braun in 21.
Talk about it.
Like,
talk
bro, like you was doing some talk astronomical stuff. Like Drake, like I said last week, right? Mm-hmm. He will be legendary no matter what. So even with this, hey, we're gonna talk about it because and the worst part about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he's this many years in the game? I'm not even sure what album this is. I know he has.
Bro, I lost count.
Right, I really did. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that he's not in a place where he can accept criticism in his career.
Yeah, that part. Because when the criticism come, it's like he like to go low blow. I'm all like, bro, everybody gets the criticism. Nigga, our favorites get the criticism.
I criticize my favorites the hardest.
Yeah, bro.
The hardest. What?
Like, you are part of the big three, bro. So the big three is going to get the smoke regardless.
Yeah.
Like, re-fucking regardless, bro. So there's no escaping it. But to try to rebuttal from as many hip-hop critics that are out there, bro.
All right, so let's break it down. Let's get into the episode. All right, the big three, right? Now, if you listen to the song First Person Shooter, this is the best song on For the Dogs, right?
It is.
J. Cole has the best verse on For the Dogs. It's not even close.
It's close, yeah.
It's not a conversation. It was undoubted. Everybody knows it. I don't know if we're going to get a Drake and J. Cole feature for a while because Drake might be in his feelings. But if you ask me, and then when he gets to talking, I'm going to bring up the lyrics for, bring up the lyrics for J. Cole for First Person Shooter, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was talking to, now he gave the shout out to the big three, but he brought up the conversation. He also shouted out Ice Cube's League, big three, you know what I mean? The double entendre, y'all didn't get it yet. You know, I'm breaking it down if y'all didn't. But he's telling them, you put me on a song, this is what's going to happen. You know, like, they call him the big three. He called him the big three, but he said, right now I feel like Ali, the greatest. He's telling them I'm the top dog. And in normal sports fashion, I would want these guys to start rapping. Now, Drake's first verse on this song, that second one, about to click. I'm about to click. No. Uh-uh. No. Garbage. Hot trinash. Like, the way Jay, look, I'm gonna let RJ, because I know he can see it in the lyrics. Cole was talking.
Bro, I got it, though. I'm just gonna read it. And this is where you fucked up at. If you're doing a feature, don't let the feature artist go first. Don't let the feature nigga go first, because he already got the shit in the chain. Cole was ready.
Look.
Cole was fucking ready.
It don't even matter about the feature artist. You don't let J. Cole go first.
Yeah. Snigga Cole was like,
first he got the Wayne effect right now.
First person shooter mode, returning your song into a funeral. Tell these niggas, say they want offices. You better be talking work in my cubicles. Yeah, them boys had it locked, but I knew the code. A lot of niggas debating on my numeral. Not three, not two, but I'm uno. Yes, numero uno. Me and Drizzy like the Super Bowl. Man, shit damn near as big as a... And then that's when Drake get into his shit. Bro, just that opening
big as
line.
What?
Yeah.
Big as the what? How do you go from that many bars to And it doesn't flow well, but it just... Look, like... And then the verse two, right? Verse two, because Drake's first verse, it was dope. You know what I'm saying? But verse two, it said, niggas so thirsty to put me in beef. Dissecting my words, starting to look too deep. I look at the tweets and start sucking my teeth. I'm letting it rock because I love the mystique. I still want to get me a song with YB, regardless of the YB trauma, right? Can't trust everything that you saw on IG. You know if I diss you, I'd make sure you know that I hit you like I'm on your caller ID. I'm naming the album The Fall Off. It's pretty ironic because ain't no fall off in me. Still in this bitch getting bigger. They waiting on the kid to come drop like a father to be. Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot, is it Aubrey or me? We the big three like we started a league. But right now I feel like I'm Muhammad Ali. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, Muhammad Ali. Boop, 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 boop. The one that you call when they, the one that they call when they shit ain't connected no more. Feel like I got a job in IT. Rhyming with me is the biggest mistake. The Spider-Man meme is me looking at Drake. It's like we recruited your homies to be demon deacons. We got them attending your wake. Hate how the game got away from the bars. Man, this shit is like a prison escape. Hate how the game got away from the bars. Man, this shit like a prison escape. Everybody steppers, well, fuck it then. Everybody breakfast, I'm about to clear it up, clear up my plate. When I show up, it's motion picture blockbuster. The G-O-A-T with the golden pin, the top toucher, the spot rusher. Spray this whole shit up, the crop duster. Not Russia, but apply pressure to your cranium. Cole's automatic when aiming them with the boy in the status of stadium. Like, when, and then I'm about to click out. And it's why do you bring somebody like Cole, who's had this amazing monster feature run, might be the best one since Lil Wayne. Yeah. And you don't show up to rap.
Yeah.
You don't show up at to all. Rap. Like
at all.
It and you know what? As I'm listening,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Dream Chaser himself is starting to sit in the back of my head and smile. We're gonna talk more about that later. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, damn, like it's almost like Meek's winning the beef by how trash you are after the Quentin Miller reference tracks.
Ooh-wee.
It's almost like he's winning the beef because you're not rapping like you rapping like What a Time to Be Alive. You got carried by Future. And he's not even a bar guy like that, but bar, Future got heat.
Yeah.
You know, but and it's views and it's more life and it's hurt. And that's not quite the same quality as we got from everything from If You're Reading This Is Too Late before.
Yeah.
And I would prefer if Drake just said, you know what? Hey, fuck it. I got ghostwriters. So what? Puff got him. Dre got him. Like a few other cats got him. But it's like you're trying to put yourself into a conversation you're not qualified for. So now you look awkward.
Yeah. And now with this album, I even hate to say it. Now, if you really look at the conversation, you call it a big three, but it wasn't really no big three. It was just
It's still a big three. So that goes into my next question, right?
Uh-huh.
What you're saying is going into my next question, right?
Uh-huh.
So, for this big three, right? Part of our commentary for the culture for the day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know who the big three is, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
When they first started, your early predictions, who is going to be 1, 2, and 3? And now, today, who is your 1, 2, and 3?
Oh, man. Look, your boy Skeeter Steve was ready. When we did this, I had to do the homework. I had to get the J. Cole accolades. I had to get the Kendrick accolades. I had to get the Drake accolades. So, let's start, and I'm going to start with Cole.
Just get into it. Let's make it quick.
Okay. So, and I hate to do this. Okay, if we're ranking
the beginning, not okay, now. Beginning, and then we'll get to now.
Okay. So when it first started out for me, I had Cole first, I had Drake second, and I had Kendrick third.
Now,
because I caught on to Kendrick. Later. Okay. I caught on
so
to him
So after Section 80?
No, this was before Section 80. I got caught after Hub City.
Okay.
But when I had listened to Compton State of Mind, I was like, he got something.
Check.
Drake has something with the comeback season in Houston, Atlanta, and Vegas. But what I was sold When I heard J. Cole, when I heard J. Cole, who that? And then the warm up, I was like, oh my God. I was like, this nigga is a monster.
Yeah, the warm up and the come up were before Who That, though. Who That was his first single.
Yeah. Yeah, but what's that? What's...
So at this point, if it's before Section 80, mm-hmm. Drake's on Comeback Season, Cole's on the come up, and Kendrick's getting ready to drop Section 80.
Then,
so for me, when I first heard it, mm-hmm. right? Now, once again, this is me after hearing Drake rap and sing.
Right.
I immediately identify that nobody's rocking with Drake. Right. Nobody's rocking. Nobody can do this.
Right.
So it's almost unfair, but I got to give you the number one spot. Like, and you're coming out of Cash Money, Young Money, you know, you got the whole thing going. OVO's not even a thing yet.
Right.
And Kendrick Lamar's getting ready to drop Good Kid, Mad City. Mm-hmm. And I'm going heavy with the come up and the warm up. But I knew it was great music, but I did not think that Cole was what Kendrick and Drake were. So I had it ranked as Drake first,
mm-hmm.
Kendrick second,
mm-hmm.
and J. Cole third.
Okay.
And I had it, and I'm gonna be honest, I had Cole at a distant third.
Ooh.
A distant, like almost I was looking at, is it Cole or Big Sean?
Because
Big Sean was bumping Finally Famous 3 at that time, and Finally Famous 3 was insane.
Let's talk about it.
It was insane.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm really like, huh, like, okay, like, shout out to my man Mook. My boy Mook is the one that put me up on Cole, right? So he was telling me everything about Cole, like, nah, you gotta listen to this, you gotta listen to that, you gotta, almost like he was fighting, like a hip-hop fan does.
Right.
Vying for his guy, but I had him in there, and I even had Big Sean in the conversation. Now, today,
mm-hmm.
talk your ranking. I'll talk my ranking, then we'll mm-hmm. see our reasons. All right. Who do you put first, second, and third?
Okay, I will put first. Kendrick is first. Cole is second. And Drake is third.
I have J. Cole as an outright distant first. Kendrick is second. And Drake has just lost so much stock in his number three that my man is 3.5. Like my man's 3.78. Like,
he lost his stock.
He lost so much, man. Like, he, like, if you round up, he's 4, and there ain't nobody in 3 spot. Like, I'm so mad at Drake. You know how much I up Drake last week, the night before it came out?
Do you know
how hot I was
really
at that? Like, I was listening to it, like, bro, in front of all our fans, I'm about to look crazy, bro. I'm about to look crazy. Like, Drake, you got me bent, bro. You got me fucked up.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, God in heaven, bro. Like, I was really listening. Like, bro, what did you do? Like, oh, man.
It was bad.
It was bad.
Because, I mean, I ain't even going to lie. As much as I be saying how corny is, bro, you even had my hopes up when I heard that. I was like, okay, if we're going to get a lot of this, I'm like, okay, Drake.
Do what you're great at. I thought you were finally going to do what you're great at. Not avoid it.
Right.
I think you was going to avoid what you were great at, you know, and be, but here's the thing, right? Well, nope. I'm going to save that for a little bit later, you know what I'm saying? So, now that they got the predictions now, where we believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's now. First off, why have these three been able to maintain the attention of the culture for so long?
My personal opinion, and I would have to say this, the reason why they grabbed the attention, and not only that, though, we got to look at it as a demographic. Little kids fuck with this big three. Teenagers fuck with this big three. People in our age bracket fuck with this big three. Hell, the people that's older than us fuck with the big three. In my opinion, I feel like they might be, I'm not going to say all the way, but it's looking like the last of the Mohicans of the rap. They're like, even though we got Griselda, we got Denzel Curry, we got all of these people.
Ooh.
We got all of these people, but we look at them as the last of the Mohicans of the rap.
I can't agree with that one, right? Rap's never going to die.
We know that.
It's not. They're not the last of the Mohicans. They're the first of a lineage. Like,
okay,
like,
I'll give you that.
Because in my opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z gave us J. Cole. Drake was given by Wayne. And Kendrick had the Dr. Dre co-sign.
And the West Coast co-sign.
And the West Coast co-sign. Yes. Game crowned him the King of the West.
Yeah.
He was crowned on stage between Snoop and the Game. And so you got to understand that these people that already had our attention in our hearts and that were already iconic to us said, hey, these guys are going to be next. Same thing Wayne did with Nicki.
Yeah.
You know, as much as she a dork now, you know what I'm saying, back in the day, when Wayne said Nicki's coming and she dropped Itty Bitty Piggy and everything was coming with that, with Beat Me Up Scotty, like, it was crazy. And it was like, wow, like, they're building these legacies.
And then we'll make it so, and then we'll make it so fucking phenomenal. You have all the goats of the goats respecting all of these three.
Yes.
From Wayne to 50 to Jay. Jay.
Speaking of the goats of the goats, there's a major moment from one of the goats that I'm going to talk about in a minute.
No, yeah. Even all three of them, even all three of them have a moment with fucking Jay.
Yeah.
Cole had his moment. Kendrick had his moment where he said he met Jay and Jay told him, it's funny how one fucking verse can fuck up the whole game.
Wasn't that Control?
No, Control, but he told him that, and he mentioned that on Hood Politics.
Oh, yeah, okay,
yeah,
bet.
Yeah, on the Pimp a Butterfly. So,
all
of these people, all of this big three had these moments with the fucking goats, and I love it. It's like they're up there, and they're looking down on this three, and they're like, these three niggas, they're doing it right. This is how it's supposed to be done.
No. It wasn't that way. It was like they're up there.
Uh-huh.
And these three ascended.
That too?
These three ascended beyond them. Because, listen. J. Cole and Pusha T used to be at the same level.
Yeah.
Big Sean and Kendrick Lamar used to be at the same level. You understand this? Like who else we want to talk about? Well, Drake was never at nobody's same level because he was just different.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to cap that with that
one.
But they skyrocketed in. And honestly, it was looking dark for J. Cole for a little while. Until he wrote, I'll Let Nas Down. That track is the moment where I feel like J. Cole changed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, even though I think it's a great single, Workout, it's way too pop.
And that wasn't him.
His album was way too pop, and it was being pushed in a direction that wasn't natural to him.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
It wasn't appetizing whatsoever.
Yeah. And we all saw that. And even another moment I felt like he literally woke up is when him and Kendrick swapped beats for the Black Friday freestyle. I felt like that was a wake-up call for him, too.
Yeah.
After I let Nas down,
Cole started rapping different.
Different, yeah.
He started rapping different. And I think his next power-up was when he started growing the locks.
Yeah, yeah.
When he started growing the locks and he stopped worrying about the culture's attention and he was just like, look, I'm going to be me.
Yeah.
He still has the best album rollout I've ever seen when he was just going to his fans' house and listening to it in the living room. That's the best I've ever seen.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's not expensive. It's not flashy. It's real. It's raw and it's authentic. And ever since those moments, that's exactly what we've gotten from J. Cole every time. Like, I feel it's like my big cousin that just happened to be on TV because he's that relatable. Kendrick was already a monster. Kendrick was on the track that he's on. But doing these songs with Beyonce, Super Bowl, and everything, like, and then
here's the fucking part that I didn't even catch. This is how so much steam this nigga got. Bro, I didn't even realize this nigga did a song with Taylor Swift.
He did, yeah. And he did that, and I was for and against that because I feel like that was a culture clout move by her team. You know what I'm saying? Because she's not authentic to the culture at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really see a space where we invite her to the cookout or anywhere she's at anywhere. Like, Justina Valentine's in the building. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Taylor Swift
walk in. What the fuck is you doing
here? Halt. Stop. Freeze.
Who invited her?
Right. Right.
Like, you see how she's fucking up the NFL right now? Yeah. Who invited her?
And I'm going to be with my potato salad.
Yeah, I'm doing this potato salad in my ass. But no, like, because that was a moment where I was like, all right, get your coins. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I have never played that song a second time.
Right, because, honestly, I like the shit that he did with Flying Lotus and Imagine Dragons. And yeah. I fuck with Imagine yeah. Dragons. Yeah. When he did that
that's
shit.
Stepping outside the box.
Yeah,
more,
when
you know
he when he did that shit, I was like, yo. And this is even this was before damn. I'm like, this nigga done crossed over so fast and so quick. I was like, fucking, this was crazy. I was like, I ain't never seen an artist like this cross over into that mainstream line that fast.
Listen, Kendrick even asked y'all, how you let a conscious nigga go commercial while only making conscious albums? Like, that's a bar. That's a bar. How you let a conscious nigga go commercial while only making conscious albums? Like, that's a bar. Because he never was not himself. Like, Good Kid, Mad City is one of my favorite albums because it authentically sounds like A Day in L.A.
Shit, nigga, he could make a whole movie out of that.
He really could make a movie out of that. But, you know, 50 already did that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like 50, yeah. 50 made a movie out of an album, and the album was amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
You know
fucking
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if he called 50, I would love to see it. I would only want to see it written by 50. Now, J. Cole has his bubble that he's doing, but they don't even look like they're on the same level as Drake. They didn't look like they were they were growing at their own speed, mm-hmm. but Drake was astronomical.
Right.
Like Jordan Dills, Drake is astronomical. But then at some point, I know a point.
What?
I know a point.
What?
We gotta take it back to a time.
Uh-huh. Where are we
this
going?
This time is if you're reading This Is Too Late has just dropped.
Oh yeah. 2015.
2015.
Great. Right. Yeah.
2015.
That was 15.
All right. If you're reading This Too Late, it just dropped. I think Meek is mid dating Nicki at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that The Game, I think he's getting ready to drop. What album is it? It was. He just dropped. What's the one with Rico?
Oh. Damn, I can't think because I know reading this, if you're reading this, it was too late. That's 2015. And then the next year after is Views.
Yeah, but it's the Meek album. It was specifically, and it was a punk ass reason why he wanted to, Dreams Worth More Than Money.
Okay.
Right, Dreams Worth More Than Money, right? It was that one.
Okay.
And they started beefing because he didn't pub his album. All right, okay. Now they're going back and forth and everything, mm-hmm. you know, Twitter fingers. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Because
he was just chopping shit on Twitter, right? Then the reference tracks come.
Oh, yep.
And then it breaks the belief of Drake.
Yeah.
Drake was not doubted by a soul mm-hmm. up until this moment.
Yeah.
Now, Meek Mill's the only reason I know the name Quentin Miller. He's the only, otherwise he'd be another name in credits.
Yeah.
I know exactly who Quentin Miller is, right? Now, we have this going on, and people are battling the idea of Drake having ghostwriters, or maybe it was one for the harmonies, or maybe he helped him out in the R&B, but Drake, no, let me ask you, I'm not going to make the statement, uh-huh. I'm going to ask you, and if you believe something different, you put it in the comments.
Right.
Has Drake rapped the same quality from that moment?
Ooh, damn.
Has Drake, he's had some songs where he's spitting, but before that, that was a mandatory with Drake.
Yeah, man.
Feature Drake is crazy.
I wouldn't even. I would say no because, like what you said, we had these songs, and then what would piss me off about him? Okay, you're giving us this mediocre shit, but here you go. You're throwing a bar of shit like Diplomatic Immunity, like on a 2-3 track EP. I'm all like, bro, like, quit. Quit doing
trophies
shit like that.
Trophies was crazy. He said, I had records on my demo.
Right.
Like, even with the club johns you was making, like, that's a bar.
And
I had hit records on my demo as a bar.
And then, going fast forward, years later, you put out a lot of the unreleased shit that I was already listening to on SoundCloud on 2013, 2014. And this is what pisses me off about you. You could have did a bonus John or a mixtape John where when you threw on that Jodeci freestyle when you and J. Cole did.
That's on
on that shit with just all the throwaways that he had.
Yeah.
And I'm just all like, bro, like you're that shit right there. And I was like, I'm all like, and this
you're
is
rapping.
You're rapping. And
but,
you dropped that right after Nothing Was the Same.
But,
I'm all like, that's just like on the SoundCloud shit. I'm all like, bro,
Care
like,
Package.
Yeah.
Yes, there
yeah,
it was.
Care Package.
But it was all the old songs that never got released.
Please, yeah.
You know, they were just the street singles and everything, and they never actually had a project title to. But is with this, with these ideas, right,
mm-hmm.
of what hip-hop is,
mm-hmm.
is the Drake dominance in hip-hop real anymore?
I would say... Now we're to the point you got women getting upset. It's starting to fade.
Before that, like you got to be top dog at the table.
Right.
When Hov was dominant.
Right.
When Wayne was dominant. When Ye was dominant, he was dominant. Right. Like, they were the top dogs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like M dominant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like. Yeah. It's T.I. dominant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I can keep going with these guys mm-hmm. when they dominated. It wasn't mm-hmm. a whole lot of guys really doing it when they had their Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Bow Wow. Young yeah. ass little Bow Wow.
Yes.
When he was dominant, he was dominant.
Yeah, he was running.
He was the he was the guy.
Yeah, he was the
fucking
guy.
Is Drake still the guy? Cause for years he's been. We can't knock it. Drake's been the guy. You know what I'm saying? And then he would go away. Kendrick would come back. He'll steal the shine. But if you look at...
And that's what I was about to say. Yeah, but you notice how all three of them take turns in the shining.
But if we was to look at this like a game of football, time mm-hmm. of possession.
Yeah.
How long have you been holding the game? Drake's held the game the longest. He's held the game the longest out of the big three. Is he still that guy? And if he's not, can he get back to that?
He got to get back to that.
Wait. Yeah. No. Can he? Not he gotta. Oh, we know what he mm-hmm. can he.
Ooh. I think he can.
I don't.
I think he can because he gotta get back. It's like you falling out of the roots. You gotta get back into that core. You gotta get back into why you love doing this shit in the first place.
True. But
he gotta get back to that. But if he don't get back to that, I'm with you. It's over for him.
No, I don't think it's over. He's always going to be relevant.
The relevancy is going to be there, but as being the guy, he's not going to be that. Not going to be that guy.
I don't think he's ever going to get it back.
Because I'm not going to lie. As much as I love Kendrick Lamar, and the news just did. News had broke today. Miss Morel and the Big Steppers has become the highest grossing tour ever for a rapper. But I'm just going to throw this out here. Y'all know I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan to the fucking core. J. Cole is like, what's up, bro? He is right there. Kendrick turn around. J. Cole's in his face. And he might pass this nigga up.
I'm being honest. Cap.
I'm being honest.
You can be honest, but I'm going to be honest with you. J. Cole is sprinting forward. And if he turns around, he got to squint his eyes to see Kendrick Lamar or Drake. You want to know what one thing that has catapulted J. Cole in front of everybody? His feature run. J. Cole's feature run, right, is the coldest thing running in the game right now. Right, Johnny P's Caddy, For Your Heart with Jordan Lucas, First Person Shooter. Like, bro, I can keep going. This legendary run of features he's on has not been, I've said it earlier in the show, has not been seen since Wayne. When somebody hop on your song and it's not your song no more, that's what J. Cole's doing to people's mainstream tracks. And with that, I would say I'm going to need to see a real rap album out of Kendrick Lamar before I put him back in that. Because I feel like he's almost in a lyrical Broadway artist now. And he gives us these experiences via lyrics in his projects, but they're not necessarily full barbershop conversation bars. They're great. They're artistic as a motherfucker. Like that's straight up down. But it's not that same compare bar quality you can with the stuff that I'm hearing from Cole. Cole's albums, I only liked four songs of Morale and Big Steppers. I'm gonna forever say that. I only liked four songs on that, and only like three songs on For the Dogs. Like,
in your defense, even like with fucking Cole, the off season, it's 12 tracks. And I really, and for me, I only really like 4, but the one that really pissed me off and I felt like he should have gave us 3 16s on that, because he could have went somewhere with that shit, and he made me mad with that. Punching the Clock is my favorite track on that Off-Season album. Oh, yeah. But that shit is only literally, exactly, and I got it in my head, 1 minute and 3 seconds long. You're fucked up for that, bro, call. Hey,
listen, have you ever thought about the name Punching the Clock? That was just him checking in.
No, yeah.
That was a freestyle.
Yeah, but I loved it. I loved that shit. And then, like, you know, it's some tweaks that, you know, all of them have, like, you know, that definitely have to get better. I'm with you on the Kendrick, the more bars. But I did like Miss Morale, because Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, because he was vulnerable.
Yeah.
We understood why he was.
I don't want that from Kendrick. I want that from Drake. I don't want that from Kendrick. Kendrick, I want you to beat a butt. Like, what you did in Control, and not to give me another Control. What the fuck is wrong with you, bro? Let me explain how he didn't give me another Control.
Okay.
He dropped Control and got the attention of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had to give their own little verse.
Mm-hmm.
And he was such a bully in this song,
mm-hmm,
that he named everybody who wasn't fucking with him. And the only person who answered was J. Goddamn Cole.
Yeah.
The only person, because he started rapping different.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said, like, Kendrick, you have the ability to be the big bully, the little homie with hands in a circle. And I feel like you're bored. I feel like Kendrick Lamar is bored. Now, I don't know if this had something to do with the TDE fallout and him going to PG Lang and him saving his best songs, Nat, and he just wanted to slide them an album, you know, let me get my last one up out of here so I'm contractually done and go do my thing. I don't know if it was that kind of situation. I kept the same story consistent since Mr. Morale dropped. I am hoping that's what it was. But in that meantime, Cole picked up, bro. Since Johnny P's Caddy came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is one verse that either of them would drop that's fucking with that?
I would have to say his with Family Ties.
Nope.
The Ahilo Heem rebirth. Before you get to the father, you gotta holler at me first. That nigga was, when he went back and forth with King, he said, "I got one daughter, but all y'all my sons in this bitch." And then he opened up the line. He even opened up the line and said, "Don't address me unless you calling me the 4 letters." What 4 letters that you want to be addressed by? Greatest of all time, the GOAT. And, like, even with the metaphors that he was going in, he was like, "Dame got a bun in the oven. You better get right like an ambulance coming. What do you do when an ambulance coming?
You gotta pull over and go to the right.
Nigga, get out the way, cause I'm coming."
You can explain and get loud all you want. That's still not deeper bars than Johnny P's Caddy.
Bro, like,
Johnny P's Caddy, that's not even Benny the Butcher song no more.
But going back to, like, what you said, the reason why Cole had to step it up because of Kendrick. Kendrick made that nigga step it up. But they cool with each other.
But I love that. So check it out.
Look, and if I could compare them to anybody, because y'all know I love my wrestling references. Cole and Kendrick is the modern-day Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock when they always go blow for blow with each other. The Rock will win one, Stone Cold will win one. The Rock will win one, and Stone Cold will win one.
So who's who?
J. Cole is The Rock. Kendrick is Stone Cold.
So if in that analogy, right now, who's a bigger star? Dwayne Johnson or Steve Austin? Who's a bigger star? Dwayne Johnson or Steve Austin? You don't even know where Steve Austin is right now.
I do.
Where?
Where is
Stone Cold right now?
No, he doing TV shows.
What is Steve Austin doing right now? If we're gonna
wrestle it down to the WrestleMania battles that we had, Stone Cold won 2 of them. The Rock won 1. But right now, I look at it as a tie. They're 2 for 2 because they're in their own lanes doing their own shit.
I don't, but we can have a whole nother episode where we're going to debate these two. Because you know how we get. I'm Team Cole all the way. He's Team Kendrick all the way. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, war! It's war, baby!
Stop yelling. Damn. Excited ass kid. ADD babies. You know what
Fuck
I'm saying?
You.
But getting back on Drake weak ass. You
yes,
know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because we still in the What the Drake episode. The worst part about it, and us being podcasters as well within the media, we understand that a lot of what these artists become is based upon what the media therefore projects AIDS isn't against and everything like that. And Drake decided to jump out the window on Joe Budden.
And week. I didn't like that.
Right. And, and more than just not liking it, it's uncalled for in the way
yes.
that he did it, because he gave an honest review about his project in the same fashion that everybody else is. But he tried to single out Joe. Now, his statements toward Joe, I'm going to go ahead and read.
Go ahead and read right? that, bro. Read that shit, man.
Champagne Poppy, which is the dumbass name. I still can't believe. Bro, you're not even Puerto Rican. How is you Poppy?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're from Canada, bro.
The, hold on, wait. I'm going to follow up with Azealia Banks' comments on
okay.
that one, too, because
okay.
she highlighted that, right? Said, Joe Budden, you have failed at music. You left it behind to do what you were doing in this clip because this is what actually pays your bills. For any artist watching this, just remember you are watching a failure give their opinion on his idea of a recipe for success. A quitter give their opinion on how to achieve longevity. You switch careers because the things that pop into your brain had you broke, living check to check, and the raps you write had 450 men showing up to your shows in Dusty Nietzsche jeans to screw up their face to Mood Music 29 and pretend you are the GOAT. Please, to any artist that's doing what they feel is right, don't let these opinions affect your mindset after the fact. This guy is the poster child of frustration. He's still going. This guy is the poster child of frustration. Y'all seem awfully frustrated, Drake. And surrendering. You retired and we never hung up your jersey. We don't even remember your... You ever remember those guys in the lunchroom that was trying to bag on people, but they just saying a bunch of jokes, but wasn't none of them funny?
Right.
All right, so you retired and we never hung up your jersey. We don't even remember your number. We know you for doing this. You withdrew from rap not because you accomplished all you need to. It's because it wasn't working for you. And never want anybody in the generation to think that their whole that the whole everybody's entitled to their opinion is a real thing. This is a man projecting his own self-hate and the fact I did and continue to do everything he wanted to do for himself. If you need to put it in simpler terms, I own a 767. He owns a modest house in 973 and flies first class on special occasions. First off, Drake really highlights how much he doesn't know about hip hop.
That part. That fucking
like,
part.
Like, Joe Budden really is a guy. Like, he really is a guy. And I think there was some foul play when he was on Def Jam to keep him from where he wanted to go. But hey, you can't be signed to the label making diss tracks about the president. That's kind of not.
Right.
Kind of doesn't
right.
work.
No,
but
yeah, yeah.
Mood Music 1, 2, 3, and 4 have more bars than any Drake project ever.
Right. And I even fuck with the Slaughterhouse shit, too.
I'm not even going to get into that because that's not even fair because he's feeding off the energy of three other bar spitters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Joel, Crooked Eye, right. and
Royce
of 5'9". And Royce.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're feeding off their energy, right? But so it just sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about because
right.
the worst thing that could happen right now, and sadly, Joe said he wasn't going to do it. He said it on his Twitter, he wasn't going to do it. But the worst thing that could happen for right now is for Joe to hop on the 8 a.m. beat because it's too much ammo.
Yeah.
It's too much ammo. Like, for you to talk about a pit bull, like he's not a pit bull just because he's taking a nap on the porch, it's crazy. You run in there like trying to jump in the cage with the lions and don't realize, bro, that's lions.
Right.
I don't care if they're old lions or young lions. They're lions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a certain, you, Drake, you have never been able to do what Joe Budden has done. Now, Joe Budden, you didn't do what Drake has done, but Drake, you haven't done what Joe Budden has done either.
Right, and I'm going to just say this. This is how Joe is culture, and the reason why I say he's culture, I follow this man. Okay, this nigga. And I'm going to say this, before Russ, he was the original Russ. What a lot of y'all don't know, he was selling out the little mom and pop joints, SOBs,
mm-hmm.
in his area.
Had everybody bumping the money. Bro,
yep. In his area, get the deal with Def Jam, did his thing, didn't work out. Nigga was on Hot 97.5. Nigga was doing radio. Nigga had a little stint doing that. That didn't work. Then he left for a little minute. Did the Slaughterhouse. Did that for a minute. And then here comes Podcast Joe. for you to try to say that this nigga is not culture and then try to say, look at him, he's failed, bro, that's disrespectful. And the reason why I'ma say it's disrespectful, look at me, prime example. I was a B-boy that transitioned into pod. Jay was a rapper. This nigga freestyle.
I wasn't a rapper. I just liked to rap.
Right, yeah, liked to rap, but he could still get down. Now we doing the pod. That's fucking culture. You transition from one thing to another. So you to try to call him a failure, bro, you're out of pocket for that. You're straight up out of pocket for that.
But it's not even that. This is all in response to an honest album review. Him doing what he's supposed
to do. You're getting mad at that.
You know what I'm saying? But he ain't say it under Ebro.
That part.
He felt like Joe was a target, an easy target.
Right.
And that's why I want Joe to rap so bad because.
And that nigga Drake always pick and choose. He's not going to do it to somebody where he know, like okay, nigga might, he possibly could might end you. I might do some shit.
Check it out. So he makes all those comments, right? I can tell you right now, never in my life have I agreed with Azealia Banks.
Right. Me too.
Never me too. In my
and
life.
She be wildin'.
She be out there in somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to attack her in any way, but I'm just saying that I have never agreed with her, right?
Right.
Until she said, let's just call it, let's see. Do you think that your nose job in liposuction is hip hop? Does Drake know that no one actually understands hip hop, a culture born from oppressed? Don't really care about his soft tooth, colonized, confused, mixed race, facsimile attempts to exhibit the true authenticity of an actual MC? Does Drake know his desperate attempts to gangsterize Canadian street life is all an encompassing failure in of itself?
Like, oh my God!
Does Drake know his desperate attempts to gangsterize Canadian street life is an all-encompassing failure in and of itself? And I did not understand how to properly say this until she said that. You really are trying to make Canada seem like Compton. Like the wards
right,
in H-Town.
Right.
Like it's the wards in New Orleans. Like he really out there like twisting his fingers
Chirac.
And everything. Like,
no.
like he made up a gang sign to throw. You know what I'm saying? But he be throwing OVO when he next to Real Bloods and Crips. You know what I'm saying? Like it be game throwing big B's and everything.
Right.
But it's Dre throwing up OVO or whatever however you throw it. And it's like everybody you're with has a cosign and gives you a pass for where they're at.
Right.
You don't have the background to be where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like when you rap about squeezing triggers because Drake, that was never why I listened to you. I know you're
right.
not gonna shoot.
Right.
I know you're not gonna shoot.
You're not that.
Like you're not
yeah,
that guy.
You're not that guy.
Hey, Drake, you know who you are?
Who?
Trey and Boyz II the Hood. Hey, let me out. Hey, dope. Let me out.
Dope.
Let me out.
Let me out.
Hey, Tunchi. Tune. Let me out. Let me out. Because like, I know, like Drake is the guy that acts like he can fight, then you find out he can't fight, and then you get mad at him.
Right.
Like, that's who Drake is, right. Because he's trying to make himself seem so hard, and you don't need to. Nobody ever subscribed to you because they thought you were tough.
Right.
Like,
at all.
Your boxing technique is shitty. I watched your videos. You know what I'm saying? I'm a trainer. I box. I box training. Like, I teach that. I'll show the mitts. And I'm not even all-star at it.
God.
But you don't step into your jab. You leave your chin open, your right hand down. Like, it's all different things. You know what I mean? There's certain things you learn. You learn how to squabble.
Right.
Because you're either going to get your ass whooped to learn how to fight, or you're going to be the kid that already knew how to fight from birth. But
right.
you're going to figure it out yeah. at some point in time.
Right.
Like, I don't, the Canadian street lifestyle that he's trying to do in this, and this hairstyle that he did, it was the Yachty show or what he had, or it was that he did from the crowd, and he got the clips and everything rolled up in his head, and like it's like he's like a 92 South Central gangster and everything.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah, bro, that's not
what
you.
Are you. What, like, how did they even get that in Canada?
Right. I be so sick of you, nigga. That's how I'm feeling.
You feel
both,
me?
Baby.
Like,
right, bro.
That was a new one. Let me hear that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
I mean, hold on, wait one time.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
That's a smooth ass sample too. That's a smooth ass sample right there.
Hey, yo,
you know what
if
I'm saying?
I catch any of you niggas doing that, bro, I'm flaming you on sight.
You know what? I'm not. I'm just gonna know where you got it from. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, the best always get emulated.
Mm-hmm.
The best always get emulated.
Right.
So if they take it, hey, take it, enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully somebody make a beat with it. You know what I'm saying? Let me rap a verse on it. Give me 16. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to be a rapper. I just like to rap because it's the culture.
Right, man.
It's this Drake situation is frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Then he goes on a stint talking about people getting away from music. Is however he feels about it in terms of himself. Go ahead, Steve. It struck a nerve with Steve. He called me on this one.
Drake. Aubrey Graham. Aubrey Graham. Word to Jimmy. Bro.
I want Drizzy, man.
Bro. Literally. Okay, you come out with an article. Oh, I'm taking a break from music, this and that. Oh, taking a break. My bro.
To focus on your health.
To focus on your health. But literally, just this past summer, verbatim, I'm about to read what you said, brother. Not nobody else but you. I know it's summertime. I gotta give you shit. Drake told a throng of Chicago concert goers of the opening stop of its All Blur tour with 21 Savage. I don't know about these guys that go away for 3, 4, 5 years and want to chill out and all that shit. That's not me. Bro, I will respect you more if you just say the nigga's name. Kendrick. We know who you're talking about. Kendrick has been gone for 5 years and Cole. Just say the nigga name. Look, this is hip-hop culture. Anytime you want to smoke or want to call somebody out or battle, you go look for him and you say the nigga's name and you point him out and you get it on. Don't make that subliminals, because the subliminals is making you look weak, dog. We know who you're talking about. Don't do no shit like that, bro. And then now you turn around because now your album done flopped and now you want to take a break, but yeah, you was talking bad about the same niggas who take breaks from music. Make it make sense, bro. Make it fucking make sense, because it didn't make no sense for you to put that out and then now you're doubling down on your word, bro. Like, literally.
He not doubling down on his word. He's reneging on his word.
Even make that even better. make that even better. Reneging. And I said this plenty of times to people when I get into this conversation with Drake. I wanted you to take a break, bro, because eventually, with any artist, that shit's catch up. Your creativity becomes lower and lower and lower if you don't take no break. Hell, I can respect Kendrick for at least a nigga said on the record, the nigga said he had writer's block for 2 fucking years. I respect that. Cole left for a little bit to pursue his basketball shit. He told the world that. I definitely respect that. But you to try to say that, oh, I'm not like this. I'm going to give you something every year. But now it caught up with you, bro. The shit done finally backfired on you, bro. And I know you have people in your corner repeatedly telling you, bro, you got to chill. You got to chill. Chill, chill, chill. And so now you're going to chill because now you're feeling the wrath. It's not one person that's just fucking criticizing this album. Nigga, everybody is on the head for this one. Because this ain't it, bro. This is not the one. And I agree with you. This has got to be the worst one by far in your catalog.
Listen. Now, hell, Certified Lover Boy was better than this. Check it out. The last Drake album that I liked. Well, no, I wouldn't say that I liked. But pay attention to this run. So Far Gone. Thank Me Later. Take Care. Nothing Was the Same. If you're reading this, it's too late. What a time to be alive.
Okay.
That run was crazy. But after that, just listen.
Okay.
Views.
Okay. I'm mid with that one.
Wait.
Yeah.
More Life.
No.
Scorpion.
No.
Certified Lover Boy.
No.
Honestly, never mind.
Hell no, because you even dropped that on Kendrick Lamar's birthday. You was trying to be petty. Hell no.
Her loss.
No.
And for all the dogs.
Bro.
Now, when I'm saying, look. What a time to be alive. I'm pretty sure that was already recorded or being recorded while, if you're reading this, is too late, it's going on, right?
Yeah.
But everything after that was ass.
It really was.
So right now, I'm going to need you to go ahead and put a Meek Mill smile like right here. Put a Meek Mill smile like right here. Because I'm going back and I'm looking at the beef. Like, I'm listening to Back to Back. You know, Back to Back was crazy.
Yeah.
Did you write that, Drake?
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Because that shit was clever. It was bars and it was a single and everything. But you know, now I'm calling everything into question because...
And I'm glad you said that because I was the only one who felt that way.
Calm down, chill, right? So check it out. So I'm looking at the situation like, damn, Meek, like, you low-key took the air out, my boy. He's still the form. He's still the figure, but it ain't the same weight to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's Now, I don't know. It could be a thing that maybe Drake's getting bored. Maybe Drake is getting bored. Like, and that's what I said about Kendrick. He got bored, you know. But I'm like I said, I'm banking on still with Kendrick that he gets the whole gave TDE their last album and giving anything else to PG Lang. So I'm still giving him that, right? But outside of that, I'm not really seeing a Drake that I want to continue listening to. I think that Kendrick Lamar is going to come back and punch shit in the face with PG Lang. But I don't like this whole... Now, one thing that is going to piss me off with Kendrick and is going to fall down my list is that if he keeps on trying to do this joint album with Baby King, and I understand it's your cousin or whatever, if you're related or just family and all and everything like that, but I don't want that from you, Kendrick.
I don't want that either. I'm a huge Kendrick fan. I don't want that. I need another solo.
You know, I don't want you doing joint albums with anybody. I want, unless it's J. Cole.
Yeah.
That's y'all the been only, talking that's the
about
only
it.
One.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for years.
I don't even want it no more.
Yeah.
I really don't. If it happens, it happens. I don't know. I'm dead ass. I don't even want it no more. Like I thought about it, like, no, because I don't even want J. Cole to make an album with nobody. J. Cole got the fallout, the fall off, and I think that's the it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that's it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want what I'm getting from Drake.
Right.
I do believe he still has opportunity to make good music, but I don't think he's ever gonna take back that number one spot as far as the bar guy.
Yeah.
I think J. Cole has that to lose right now. And I think he's gonna maintain it because his next album that's supposed to be coming out with Kendrick featuring Baby Keem, I don't think that's gonna be something that's going to push him past what J. Cole's been able to do. J. Cole's winning the most in consistency, and that's majority of the battle. He's winning the most in consistency. You know, I believe that Kendrick Lamar was rightful to take his break, but I do think that the longevity hurt him in the conversation. And until I'm proven wrong or different by what comes out, I just think that Cole's going to be that guy. You know, but hey, you know, Andre has to do it better.
Nah, yeah, because I look at it as like, you know, different strides and different runs. And I can agree with you right now. It is Cole's time, rightfully so. That's just all like, you know, I even say this from a little bit of from 2013 to 2015, Kendrick had that run and then Drake come back in with the landslide, and then here comes Kendrick again, not only with Damn, but fucking executive producing the Black Panther soundtrack. So Kendrick low-key kind of had like two solid runs.
That don't count as a run. That just means you did something. I don't say him executive producing the Black Panther soundtrack was a run. I just think that he was a part of something iconic, and it blew.
Well, he put the song list together.
He ain't rap him.
He did rap on Big Shot.
But he didn't rap the album, so yeah, I can't give it in a body of work. You
okay,
know what I'm
yeah,
advance me because he didn't do the body of work.
I can see that though, but also too, like I mean, the songs that was on there were pivotal, and he threw and what I did respect about him. No, what I respect, he did throw the alley oop to J-Rock so it could catapult when J-Rock album came out the next year after King's Dead. King's Dead is a fire track.
So.
You say so with all you want, nigga. Like, nigga, I'm standing on that. That nigga did that for
standing
that
on
round,
nigga
bro.
Will push you off. Stand on it, nigga. I'm gonna push you off. You know who I am? Look, I'm saying like the Black Panther soundtrack is amazing. It is, but I don't give that as a Kendrick Lamar, this is your bars and what you produce for the game W. And that's what the conversation is.
But the only reason why I say that, because when you look at it, and you can look it up right now, Apple, Spotify, or Tidal, they got that shit listed under as Kendrick Lamar.
Because he's a contributor. You have to. You legally have to. Because he's a contributor. It does not mean that the body of work is his. No.
I'm not saying the body of work is
but
his.
We're,
so,
but we're talking about bodies of work.
If it's 100%, I got to give him 80. He did 80% of that work, bro. He did.
I'm not giving it to him. It ain't happening.
Yeah, I'm giving it to him.
Good job. But there's a lot of that, like 80%. He did not do 80% of the rapping on that album.
Bro.
On the soundtrack. No, he didn't.
Intro, All the Stars. He did the track with fucking Vince Staples and the African dude, King's Dead. The SOB, he did the ad-libs for SOB for that. Fucking the track with Mozzie and Reason. And then he did Big Shot, and he hella rapped on Big Shot with Travis Scott. Pray For Me with The Weeknd. That nigga was rapping all over that shit, bro.
He was on 5 of the 14 tracks.
Bro, he was rapping all over that shit, bro.
He's on 5 of the 14 tracks. That's just a compilation album. That's like saying DJ Khaled's a dope album for putting together the shit he does. Like, he's a dope rapper. No, he's not. He just put together a dope compilation. You put a couple songs on it, but I can't give you as that full body of work. I can't. I won't.
No,
I won't.
No,
like,
I'm not saying it is a full body of work, but
that's the conversation.
No, the conversation was talking about the run.
We'll do this forever anyway. let's get to my favorite section so far today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can I kick it? Goddamn, can I kick it today? Y'all have brought back one of my favorite sneakers all time. Like, literally, these used to be called, what, the Undefeated Fives?
The Olives?
The Olives. Fives. Yep, yeah. Listen. Dressed in Army Olive, solar orange, and black color scheme, this offering of the Air Jordan 5 will look exactly like the original release, featuring olive suede upper with tonal shades of green on the mesh midfoot panel and eye stays. Other details include bright orange accents on the inner lining, Jumpman logos on the tongues and underfoot, as well as the shark tooth graphic on the midsole.
Ooh.
3M metallic silver tongues atop a green midsole and icy translucent outside completes the design. Listen, when I'm telling you these boys, hitters, I'm telling you, look, these are one of my favorite fives because this is style, right? Now, a lot of the Jordan retros that release nowadays, I really want to say, like, they're not really trying too hard.
No, they're really not.
But this one right here, it's a beautiful contribution because it's one of those things that it's like the black and white 11. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the military fours, the blue and white fours. It's like they're always going to mean something. It's like the Olympic sixes. You know, the Olympic sevens. You feel me?
Well, both like, of them. Shit.
Yeah, Olympic sixes and Olympic sevens. Say the truth, honestly.
Yeah.
But there's just a certain colorway that is like the Bugs Bunny eights. You know, same thing is like. They're always going to be a fire drop.
No, yeah.
And the Olive Fives are one of those.
Man. No, yeah. And for me, I'm liking it even more because right now, even just the climate that we're in, folks are not checking for fives. So this is going to be an easy grab.
I don't know if it's going to be easy grab.
No. The only reason why I'm going to say this is an easy grab because earlier this year, and I seen it with my own two eyes, The historic green beans had dropped. We know what the green bean fives did for us in that year.
But the olives might be the best five next to the Toros. The all red Johns?
The fire red fives? It's a tie. The best? I don't know. Because the fire red fives are up there.
The fire red fives, yeah, because Toros was four. You're right.
Yeah.
Fire red fives are up there right along with the Olive Fives.
Damn, I take that back. It's another one that we forgetting. The Will Smith joints, the Great Fives too.
No, they wasn't. Nope.
The Great Fives are up there.
No, they're not. No, they are not. They are not up there with the Olives. They are not up there with the Olives.
Bro, those three are up there, bro.
But if they're maybe up there, but them other two up further. I'm telling you, look, the Fire Red Fives and the Olive Fives are the hardest Jordan Fives.
No, yeah.
They're the hardest
ones. Yeah, absolutely, though, but we can't not take away from what the Grapes have done. Like, the Grapes, that's an iconic colorway, too.
The Grapes are the Bel-Airs.
Yeah, that's what they call them now. They call them the Bel-Airs.
No, the Grape Fives and the Bel-Air Fives are two different sneakers.
No, the Grape Fives then. The Grape Fives, the purple ones. Yeah, the purple and teal.
Yes, they're like the third or fourth ones, right?
Yeah.
The number one and two.
Yeah.
Are the Olive and the Fire Red. You got your opportunity in the comments. He's going to get time to think about it. Is there any pair of fives that are better than the Olive Fives and the Fire Red Fives? Name them for me. Go ahead and put it. I don't want to see nobody tag no custom artists and everything. We're talking about some OG stuff that came out of factory.
He said no custom artists, man.
We're going to do that, man. Yeah. I just holler at my boy New Life.
Yeah, you
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Akeem.
Akeem,
I got some fives. I need you to restore these and find somebody that can customize them for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but shameless plug, New Life Kicks, and I really saw this come from the ground up, man. My boy Akeem really is smooth with what he does.
Absolutely.
And he's created technology that is going to help extend the life of our sneakers
and revitalize it.
And he can educate you on the proper way to care for your sneakers. And it's really a way that a lot of people don't know how to do. You know how I know people don't know how to do it? Because I see y'all goddamn sneakers, right? Now I'm more of a Chuck Taylor player myself, but I got a lot of things that's in the closet that don't ever come out. And not that they don't ever, they rarely come out. But you still have to wear your sneakers or they're going to decay.
Yeah.
That's something that I learned from Akeem. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to New Life Kicks. You know, we're going to plug them right around here somewhere. And everything.
Right, and wear your shit. So wear your kicks.
Yeah, man.
But back to these five. So, I'm honestly, personally, because of the climate, like what I said, I think it's really going to be an easy grab.
What Shannon Sharp say?
That fucking meme, bro.
Hey, I love that meme. Is it Weebay from The Wire?
When he
be like, they're my two favorite memes, my bro. I promise you.
But like what you said, man, about the sneaker, man, the suede, the accent, the reflectors on there. It's fucking phenomenal. And just like what we said, we haven't seen this since 2006. Like literally 2006, because I remember that year vividly, because fives came out like clockwork that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was,
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Speaking of, you brought it back. I know a sneakers that pair of fives that's better than the Grapes.
What?
Oreos.
No.
Yes.
No, hell
you
no.
You bugging. Oreo fives are better than the Grape fives.
No. Look, I'm like Dave Chappelle off the when they did the racial draft. Now you're going way too damn far now. Going too far now.
That's gonna be. We're gonna have a Can I Kick It tournament right now, and we're gonna let y'all vote our best sneakers and figure out the best ones. I'll throw it up here. Ooh, that's gonna be fire because I got some sleepers that Jordan dropped. You know what I'm saying? But look,
man, look. Hey, no, I'm definitely with it though, man.
Yeah.
No, I think that'll definitely be some fun shit, bro. Absolutely. I would be with that, like, all the fucking way, man. But, that concludes tonight's show. Man, bro, I had fun with you tonight, man,
What the Drake is going on.
Man, y'all let us know in the comments how y'all really feeling about this. Because, I mean, we cannot be the only two people that's feeling like, yo, this album ain't it.
I know we're not. I know we're not.
Yeah, so please let us know in the comments. But thank you for supporting. Continue to support. We are on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio. You name it, we on it.
Feel me?
Plain and simple.
Yes,
tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. Damn it.
Straight up.
Plain and simple.
It's the lace
where I'm screwed. Yeah. So this is your boy Skeeter Steve.
It's your man Jay.
We out.
Yes, sir.